Hey, Danny.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it.
I don't have any chance to hear your name, Kirk, though.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is that Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a special guest today, Danny Suras, with 35 years of law enforcement. We're going to look at some recent shootings that appear to be false flags, where Danny's detecting a pattern. Before we go there, however, I want to begin with a couple of news reports, including that the U.S. elites have a plan to split up Russia. Now, just imagine if you heard another of the elites of another nation had a plan to split up the United States, how would you feel about that? The efforts are part of Washington's desperate attempt to retain hegemony. U.S. and its allies are seeking to preserve their power by dismantling Russia, with Western think tanks busy formulating the necessary plan, said the secretary of Moscow's Security Council. In an interview published in his Vesta Wednesday, Nikolai Patrushev said the West was attempting to influence the global order through the destruction of Russia or its weakening to the level of a third-rate country under foreign management. It ain't gonna happen. He cited a book published last year titled Failed State, A Guide to Russia's Rapture as an example of academic work suggesting ways of achieving that goal. A purported plan is to support instability in nations neighboring Russia and to conduct information warfare to fan internal separatism. The book was written by Janusz Bagajewski, a senior fellow at conservative Washington-based think tank, the Jamestown Foundation. The author makes the case for the dissolution of Russia, claiming it had failed to become a nation state, a civic state, or a stable imperial state, all of which are ridiculous claims. Bagajewski cites a range of factors that are supposed to work against Russia: lack of economic growth, inequality, distrust in government institution, the alienation of the population from the ruling elite, disbelief in official propaganda. My God, those all apply to the United States. We have a lack of economic growth. We have gross inequality. We have distrust in government, the FBI, the Department of Justice, For some, it extends all the way to the Supreme Court. God knows Congress is held in disrepute. The alienation of the population and stealing the elections. The American people are totally disaffected from election and know they're being stolen right and left. Disbelief in official propaganda. Who believes what we've been told by our government, JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, or the moon landing, for all that? This academic is a veteran critic of Moscow, but of course, he's a hack. Petrushchev, this is now the Russian secretary, claims the West is seeking to weaken Russian sovereignty to gain access to and exploit vast natural resources, no doubt about it. However, Moscow's adversaries underestimate the strength of our nation and the will of the Russian people to be independent. I think that's 100% correct. He further alleged Russia's opponents are aiming to undermine the foundation of its national identity by promoting harmful ideas such as gender diversity and by attempting to revise history. That's happening right here in the United States, taking down all our statues, promoting all this gender dysphoria even among little kids, using a transgender to promote recruiting for the United States Navy. Have you heard of such stupidity? Petrushchev argued this policy actually alienates those in the West who value tradition and are not susceptible to anti-Russian propaganda, which we've been hearing endlessly since Hillary Clinton conjured up the theory that Russia helped Trump win the election because she couldn't accept the fact that she's such a miserable candidate. The people detest her, that even though the election was rigged, Donald Trump beat her handsomely. He suggested these people are welcome to move to Russia and become citizens as long as they respect local laws and culture. And of course, we got this massive influx of foreigners into the United States and part of this grand effort to destroy America. Meanwhile, Bolton, John Bolton, a miserable neocon, a war hawk, just a despicable figure, touts a grand strategy to counter Russia and China. Right, I'm sorry. Too late. The notorious hawk has floated a plan involving increased arms spending, nuclear tests, and a global NATO to defend Taiwan. This is all rubbish. Former U.S. National Security Advisor, and that he was ever in that position is horrifying all by itself, has urged Washington to implement a new Cold War-style strategy against Russia and China, according to the longtime foreign policy hawk. The West should cut back on social programs to fund military. My God! We're already dumping a huge percentage of our taxpayer money into the military. The idea of taking it out of social program to fund military spending is lunatic. Renewed testing of nuclear weapons to provide security guarantees to Taiwan. Right. How can we possibly defend an island nation thousands of miles away across the Pacific Ocean? The logistics are preposterous. No one with a modicum of history of military warfare could contemplate that the United States could successfully defend Taiwan. Stupid. Bolton, who served in the admin of President Donald Trump, I can't believe Trump put him in that position, describe his grand strategy approach in a Wall Street Journal column, urging 2024 presidential candidates to think in the same term. Pathetic. The U.S. should have a contemporary reincarnation of NSC 68, Bolton argued, referring to a document adopted by Harry Truman, laying foundation for militarizing a confrontation with the USSR. He also claimed in the new Cold War, the U.S. and its ally would be pitted against a Chinese-Russian axis and accompanied road state outriders like Iran and North. This guy has lost it. He's disconnected from reality. Doesn't he understand the U.S. has already lost its preeminent position in the world? Russia and China have taken control with BRICS, with the sanctions. It's all backfired on the United States by following advice just like that we're getting from John Bolton. If there's anyone whose opinion ought not to be taken seriously, it's John Bolton. Meanwhile, how will Vladimir Putin respond to the assassination attempt in Moscow? A clear and present danger. For more than a year now, for nearly a decade, since occupying and annexing Crimea, in fact, that is what Russia has been for neighboring Ukraine, a clear and present danger. But a rash of increasingly bold incident capped by the apparent attack of two drones on the Kremlin purport to show the script being dangerously flipped. An unmanned aerial vehicle crashing into the cupola of the Kremlin, home to President Putin's executive office, were not deadly. No, they were not deadly. They were not successful. We have footage where we can see what happened when they were destroyed. But they are among the boldest and most symbolic strikes against the seat of Russian political power since it invaded Ukraine in the special military operation, just as Ukraine was about to launch a massive attack on the Donbass that would have slaughtered tens of thousands of ethnic Russian, Russian-friendly residents. Putin acted to protect them. He did the right thing. Russian officials say Putin was not present in the Kremlin, and there were no other casualties. Video of the aftermath appeared to show part of the building's roof on fire beneath a fluttering Russian flag. However, the Kremlin has referred to the incident as a planned terrorist attack and an assassination attempt targeting the president. Russia reserves the right to take countermeasures wherever and whenever it deems appropriate. In other words, the attack is ushering in a new and unpredictable stage in the deadly conflict. Moscow says Ukraine is behind the drone attack, though an advisor to Zelensky denied the country's military or intelligence services were responsible. Now, of course, if you contemplate who had the motivation to do it, and the technology, the ability, and the opportunity, it's really Ukraine and the United States. So I have heard the theory conjectured that it could have been Israel. Israel could have been seeking to provoke more massive warfare. But so far as I can tell, Israel wants war between the United States and Russia, so Israel can occupy Ukraine as the new Israel. And its time in Palestine is running out. Henry Kissinger, nearly 10 years ago, was predicting that in 10 years there'd be no more Israel. They want a new homeland. They want it to be Ukraine. Most of the occupants of Israel are Khazarians, or descendant from the region now today known as Ukraine. They are not ethnically descendants of the tribe of Judah. They are not. They're Khazarians. The overwhelming majority, DNA studies have shown it. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who's a horse's ass, struck a skeptical note as well. I see the reports. I can't in any way validate that. We simply don't know. Second, I would take anything coming out of the Kremlin with a large shaker of salt. Well, that's very funny from a guy who's one of the world's great liars today. So let's see what the facts are. Maria Popova, associate professor specializing in post-Soviet politics at McGill, said she sees no upside for Ukraine to conduct such a spectacular attack. It would only galvanize the Russians. That is completely counterproductive for Ukraine. Why would the Ukrainians want that? Leaked Pentagon documents, however, revealed the U.S. urged Ukraine to carry out attacks in Moscow last February on the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion. Russians said the Ukrainian drones were used to strike a fuel depot last week in Sevastopol, used by Russian Black Sea Naval Fleet last month. Ukraine's head of military intelligence, Karlo Budinov, boasted in an interview that Ukrainian drones were capable of reaching Moscow. Well, that's certainly very suggestive. Might as well write your name on the drone. In the absence of its own supplies of massive firepower, agility, stealth, and surprise attacks have become the trademark of the Ukrainian forces. But Pavlova suggested the Kremlin drone attack could have been a provocation, a false flag planned by Russia's own security services to justify an eventual heavy-handed response. Any number of hawkish Russian factions could have an interest in escalating the war, said Lasha Tekhaturzai, a professor of international affairs at Norwich University in Vermont, if they did it. The main reason would have been to provoke Putin to do something more than the Russian state has done so far. The reaction in Ukrainian circles, among others opposed to the Putin regime, stretched from celebration over the symbolic reverberation of the strike to trepidation about potential repercussions. The security breach came as the Russian state and its military forces prepare for the annual May 9th Victory Day parade, and this is the fifth, through Red Square. So we're talking 4 days hence, celebrating the Soviet Union defeat of Nazi Germany. It is something of a national holiday. That's putting it in an understated way. It's of enormous significance, with deep cultural and historical importance for Russians. Though such celebrations have been called off for security reasons in some Russian cities near the Ukrainian border, a Moscow parade will go on as planned. But after hearing the news and viewing video images of an explosion above the Red Wall Fortress, Muscovites will certainly have a wary eye on the sky if they dare to come out for the parade next Tuesday. That by itself could be viewed as a strategic victory. While Putin has sought to insulate his people from the economic shock of the war and outlawed any expressions of anti-war dissent, Ukraine and the West have been trying with sanctions, diplomatic protests, and a fierce information war to make Russians feel and understand the impact of the conflict being waged in their name. Beyond targeting his Kremlin offices, the threat of an armed strike on Moscow is one of Putin's greatest concerns and among his stated reasons for invading Ukraine. A few days before giving the order to his troops, and this would have been on 24 February 2022, over a year ago, Putin spoke of the existential threat posed by the eastward encroachment of the NATO military alliance, about which he's 100% correct. NATO at the time of the dissolution of the Soviet Union had like 13 member nations. Today it has 30. They've all grown by doing what the West said it would not do, namely turning the newly independent Eastern Bloc nations that were becoming sovereign republics into NATO nation. We swore we wouldn't do it. And that's exactly what we have done. Just as the West agreed to the Minsk agreements and a platform for peace while using them as a cover to beef up Ukraine with the latest military weapons and hardware. In other words, the West lies. We're big liars. Even when it comes to solemn agreements and treaties, we are not trustworthy. So the situation is bad in terms of the credibility of the West. There is no credibility. Putin spoke of the existential threat posed by the eastward encroachment of the NATO military alliance completely correctly. American cruise missiles, if launched from Ukraine, could reach Moscow in 35 minutes. Ballistic missiles could reach the Russian capital in 8, and hypersonic in just 5. It's like a knife to the throat, Putin said. A knife to the throat. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, who's now the hawkish deputy chair of Russia's Security Council, a serious guy and a fierce Russian nationalist, wrote on Telegram, "The Kremlin attack forces Russia to return to its original goal of regime change in Ukraine. After today's terrorist attack, there's no option left except for the physical elimination of Zelensky and his cabal. Others in Putin's political entourage will be urging him to hold off, if not for the facts about who was behind the drone attack, at least for the most advantageous moment to respond. The Russian leadership is not single-minded, though they come across as such. They're going to think about it first. They're considering a response. Well, of course. Even if I found it was done by rogue elements in Russia or in Ukraine without knowledge of the Ukrainian command, they can use this as a measure to retaliate against Ukrainian civilian objects. Mind you, they knew for a very long time that NATO and the U.S. were running the shop in Ukraine. But it was nearly a year before they launched a Dagger missile into this deep underground bunker and took out some 300 officers in the command and control bunker. This is like 300 feet beneath the ground. All dead, all of them dead, 100%. Devastating. This was the brains behind the military operation. Meanwhile, right here at home, we have our fake president, the actor wearing a mask who's calling himself Joe Biden, if any of you miss it. When he was in Ireland, he scratched behind his neck and he pulled up the rubber of his mask. I mean, it was very, very obvious. On my blog at jameshfetzer.org, I have multiple studies proving that the Biden we see today is not the real Biden, who appears, by the way, to have died in 2017. Get this. Even his granddaughter says that her grandpa is dead. But because the family has such a political history, he wanted to maintain control. And so she said he's using a brother to fake being Biden. Well, I guarantee it's not the same guy. If you look at the physical characteristics, Joe Biden had a larger head. This guy has a smaller. This is not a characteristic that can change like dyeing your hair or shaving a beard. Got a different signature, different handwriting. I recently played a video of Joe Biden from like 2007. And the guy actually was very articulate, highly intelligent, uses hands in arms and gestures just as does yours truly. I mean, in terms of expression and ways he communicated, Biden was a whole lot like me, but this guy is like a mummy, this one that's running around the country wearing a mask. So it's just insulting. A brilliant piece by Sundance, by the way. I reported yesterday on Need to Know. Is explained this is a disposable administration that they got this guy incompetent. I don't know whether Sundance recognizes that it's an actor wearing a mask. But they're just using him for a one-term, all-out attempt to destroy America, opening the borders, not enforcing crimes, seeking to destroy education, even our military, like going woke. I mean, how dumb is that? Going all out, recognizing there's no prospect whatsoever this guy could be reelected, but remember, he's only in there because they stole the election in the first place. It's only because of Dominion voting machine and absent of voter ID, truckloads of ballots. It happened before our very eyes in 2020, then they did it again all over in 2022. Now the question becomes, how do you get rid of this fake Biden having done his part? In relation to a campaign, yeah, he announced he's campaigning. He only has two staffers. They don't have any income. There's no effort actually being made to promote the reelection of Joe Biden. Here's MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Joe Biden will be impeached over a report allegedly linking him to criminal scheme. House Oversight Chairman James Comer and Senator Chuck Grassley announced Wednesday a whistleblower had come forth claiming DOJ and FBI possess a file describing an alleged criminal scheme between Biden and a foreign national while he was serving as vice president. Grassley has described the whistleblower as credible. Comer subpoenaed the form in question, which the accuser claims describes the alleged criminal scheme involving then-Vice President Biden and a foreign national relating to the exchange of money for policy decisions. They claim the DOJ has the document in its possession. Axios describes this as the most direct allegation against Biden himself. Comer subpoenas demanding the document within a week. The idea is get Biden out. I have no doubt they want to move Gruesome Newsom in. He's the guy. He's the guy they want in office. Gavin Newsom.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as advertised, I'm joined today by Danny Siras, a really excellent researcher related to false flags and anything related to law enforcement, where he has a vast background. Danny's been detecting a pattern here in recent shooting events. He sent me links to stories about a half a dozen. I've done my best to upload them, so we'll have them available. So anyone who watches the video version of today's show will be able to see them. Meanwhile, you'll be hearing vivid descriptions. Danny, the first had to do with this Georgia gas station thing 10 days ago. We got a photo here of a 35-year-old and a 15-year-old being arrested for shooting 9 children. Why haven't we heard about this mass shooting? You know, it's from the photograph right off the bat. It's got gas, regular $2.15. What the hell is going on here, Danny?
Hello, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Actually, you're good. You're good, Danny.
Yeah, that was a great opening, by the way, of the show. That Joe Biden thing is really something else with the mask and all that. You know, I'd just like to point out, I recently saw a photograph with two pictures of Joe Biden, and one of them shows Joe Biden back in the days when he was vice president, and he's sitting at a desk, and he's writing with his right hand, and it's clearly, you know, the Joe Biden that we're all used to seeing that you speak about. And then in the other image next to him is the guy that we see now with the mask, and he's writing with his left hand. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, of course, Democrats try to explain that's perfectly normal, that somebody just switches the way they write with their hand and then their signature changes. as well. So I find that amazing that people are going along with that. But
the pants on fire Democrats are just disgusting, and they have betrayed everything for which this country is supposed to stand, Danny. I am repulsed by the Democrat Party of today.
Yeah, the cognizant dissonance, sir, that surrounds the whole mask thing, and when you look at the images side by side, it's clearly not even close to being him. The rubber mask incident that you pointed out, some of it is just so over the top, and the fact that somebody would turn a blind eye to that and think that that's totally normal, that we have a guy in a mask, and we should just accept that, and that's just the way it is in the U.S. I mean, I can only wonder what other leaders are wondering around the world that see this as well. You know, we don't really ever see anybody comment on this, but, you know, can you imagine what's on the minds of some of the other leaders around the world when they see this stuff going on in the United States? You know, and we're supposed to be up there on top, and everybody looks for us for leadership and guidance, yet we see these shenanigans with a guy that, you know, has some sort of a mask on or something. It just, it's over the top, sir. It's just a world that I never thought that we would live in, but yet we see it.
And Danny, he had a career in the Senate about as long as your career in law enforcement. In other words, the senators have to know this isn't Joe Biden. I mean, give me a break. So what the F is going on here? I just find it difficult to believe that this kind of fraud can be allowed to perpetuate in Washington, D.C. It is an outrage.
Well, you know, sir, what I'd like to point out also on that is I saw Ted Cruz maybe about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and he did a segment, you know, one of those little side segments that he did where he was standing in the Capitol somewhere talking to the camera. And, you know, I don't know if he was signaling us really, because Ted Cruz is actually a pretty bright guy. And he said, you know, it's a strange thing. He started off the segment by saying it's a very strange thing about this president, Joe Biden. He said this president. And he said, you know, I just want everyone to know that I actually know Joe Biden personally. And he said, people forget, but, you know, he was vice president and he's been around a long time. And he cited several incidences where he was on different committees working with Joe Biden, like in the same room. And so, like, they got to know each other on a personal level, you know, and talked about other things besides always politics, right? And he said, you know, I sat next to the guy, had lunch with him all the time. I mean, we had to make decisions on different things, you know, back in the day on different things. So he says, it's not like I've never met him before. I mean, I actually hung out with this guy quite a bit, and we just talked about all kinds of different things, right? So I know him. And he said, so I'd just like to point out that every time I want to meet him, I call over to the White House, and he never returns my calls. And he's like, it's, you know, I'm a U.S. senator. You know, so I have a right to talk to the president, right? But he said, I've called over there three times. He won't return my calls, and I'm not allowed to speak to him. And he said, then I've also asked to come to the White House and meet him because I have several pertinent reasons of business of Congress to talk to him about, right? Because, you know, I'm a senator. I work here. You know, he was kind of joking. But yet I'm not allowed. They said, no meeting will be allowed. And he said, I've never seen before where I can't call the president. I can't speak to him. I can't go see him. I'm not allowed to talk to him. He said, whoever heard of such a thing when a U.S. senator like myself can't even speak to him on the phone or go visit him or make an appointment to go see him when I already know the guy, but yet I'm not allowed to talk to him. Because this is the strangest thing, and I just don't understand what's going on here. Well, we know what's going on here, but I think he was almost kind of suggestively trying to tell us something in the segment without coming out and saying it, you know, the obvious. And, of course, any U.S. senator in our government would have access to the White House and the president. That's their job, right?
Right.
If he was denied even a phone call, can't speak to him, He said, I'm not even allowed to speak to him. You know, I leave messages, multiple messages, no phone call back. And then, sorry, you can't speak to him. I'm told I can't talk to him. He's like, excuse me? I'm not allowed to speak to the president? No, you're not. Well, can I come and meet him? I have this? No, not allowed to meet. Just no. You know what I mean? He said, whoever heard of such a thing in the U.S. government?
But of course, it's because he does know Joe Biden that he would immediately detect that this is not Joe Biden. That's the risk they don't want to run if they can keep him at a distance. He's left in a state of uncertainty, though, I think. I mean, look, if I'm here in Madison, Wisconsin, can figure out this guy is a fake and a fraud, he's a clown wearing a mask. Ted Cruz is right there up close and personal, can arrive at the same conclusion. I'm just baffled by no one has the balls to stand up and speak the truth. This is an emperor's new clothes type situation. This guy's a total fraud. So why isn't he being called out, Danny? It's baffling to me.
The mainstream media, sir, as we know, is controlled. You know, the Mockingbird media, as some people call it. So, it's a controlled entity. And the sooner the people, you know, figure that out, there's a lot of people that have figured it out, but there's a lot of people still that don't understand that it's how controlled the mainstream media is and how everything is scripted. You know, we've showed that, you've shown that for years over and over and over again. So your listeners understand that. But a lot of people outside to this day I run into still, you know, always follow the whole, well, how come I don't see that on the news, you know, or, you know, that's their verification for everything still because they're brainwashed. They don't really understand. They only get a few minutes of news a day. They're busy working 50, 60 hours a week trying to make a living. And they don't have time. You know, that's really not their fault, but they don't really have time and they just come home, turn on the TV, and see a few minutes of it. But, you know, I also saw a video, sir, I'd like to point out, when Joe Biden was vice president, he was at a Lakers game, you know, basketball, the NBA game.
Sure.
And you can see it's the Joe Biden that we all know, and he's with Hunter, his son. And you can see him laughing and kind of joking or whatever, you know. And, you can clearly see it. He's in the front row. You know, like a lot of celebrities are at different sporting events, especially at basketball games. And, he's having a good time with his son, right? And this is before we really thought anything was going on. And you can clearly see it's Joe Biden, you know, the one that we know that we see all the time. And as you pointed out, he's speaking with his hands, he's jovial, he's smiling. You know, it's Joe Biden, the one that we've seen for years, right? And I've been watching the guy for a long time, right? He's been around for a long time, way longer than I've been around. And he's just, you know, he looks fine. But then we see this guy now, and it's not even close to the same guy, you know? And I think what it is, and I pointed out to some people, now that people have been looking at the fake one with the mask so long on television, I think a lot of people, sir, when they see a picture of Joe Biden, they literally just forgot what the real Joe Biden looks like because the media is telling them this is Joe Biden. So when they look at the picture of the real Joe Biden or they see a video of the real Joe Biden, they think that's a fake Joe Biden. And they think the guy in the mask is the real Joe Biden. You know, they've kind of created that through the media. It's really, really amazing. You know, and then another one I'd like to point out is just a few months ago, we have a picture of the guy with the mask, the Joe Biden that they're telling us, walking through the airport with no security. You can clearly see him walking through the airport, and he has no security, and he's carrying his own bags, which is really interesting. He's got one in each hand, and he's walking with an Uber driver. If you can believe that. And there's no Secret Service around him. None. No Secret Service.
Yes.
And it looks very strange when you look at it. I had to watch it multiple times. And then he walks outside to the front of the airport where the traffic is, you know, out on the curbside. And he gets into a SUV, and the Uber driver opens the back hatch for him, and he's bantering with the Uber driver. And he opens the back hatch of this SUV, and Joe Biden, this guy, the plain Joe Biden that we see on television, puts his own bags, and I'm describing because we're on the radio, but he puts his own bags in the back of the SUV, you know, first left hand and then the other right hand, puts them in the back. And then there's a lady like in what looks like a Toyota of some sort, you know, economical car, wants to turn into the driveway that the Uber driver is blocking. And her bumper, she pulls right up to the Joe Biden when he's putting his bags in. And you can see her looking at him like, is that the President of the United States? And there's no Secret Service around. And she's looking at him, waiting. I mean, if she weren't in control of her car, she's got the bumper of her car right up to the SUV, looking up and watching this Joe Biden load bags. And when I pause it, you can see the look on her face. She's kind of surprised that she's seeing what she's seeing, right? And then the video cuts off when they get into the SUV. And I find it very strange that nobody is concerned that there's no Secret Service around the president, and then he's simply just walking free and clear through an airport with an Uber driver, carrying his own bags, I might add. The Uber driver didn't even offer to help him with the bags, and loads them into the Uber driver's car. It's not a government car, right? And there's no Secret Service around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you want to talk about something strange?
Good catch.
I've never seen anything like that, you know? And when I'm looking at that over and over, I'm like, okay, now, how could somebody not think that that is not strange? And I showed that to some people. And I'm like, okay, is that totally normal that we have an active supposed president that walks through an airport with no Secret Service around him, no pre-check, no nothing, no crowd around him, carrying his own bags with an Uber driver, and then getting into a civilian vehicle with no security and loading his own bags into the car with no security blocking the traffic outside on the curbside? Did I really see that? And everybody's just like, oh, that's totally normal. Maybe he didn't want the security.
You're kidding me. They think that's normal? Danny, it's proof this can't possibly be the President of the United States. I mean, look.
That's what I said. You can have a show, sir, where we can analyze that clip. I could probably find it. It was, you know, all over the web. But I'd like everyone to really let that sink in. Okay, the media, Mockingbird Media, is at a way now that where they can either not talk about something or spin something. But yet we have clear video. This is really clear HD video. This isn't grainy or anything like that. Walking through an airport, okay? And I've never seen a president since I've been alive walking through an airport by himself, right? You know, and we've all been to an airport, right? Sometimes it's busy, and we've been to airports where it's not that busy.
Danny, I love all that stuff. I promise you and I would talk about these fake shootings. And, you know, I got this one up about this 35-year-old, 15-year-old arrested for shooting 9 children at a Georgia gas station 10 days ago. We're not hearing anything about it. And it's got a sign for gasoline at $2.15 a gallon. So what the hell is going on here?
You know, I saw this, sir. This is just I think they refer to a meme or something on the news feed. So right away, I started looking into this because I saw that. And I think what happened is the media source that wrote this up, whoever put this up, just took an old picture of the gas station from a stock photo, maybe from Google or something like that.
Yeah.
And they put this up. So that's all that was. They took his photo, and they found the quickest photo they could find at the gas station where it happened to just kind of put this up. In fact, the gas prices really have nothing to do with this.
Well, but sure. But I mean, obviously, it cannot be a contemporary photograph. I mean, that's the point. I agree with your analysis. They just took a stock photo. But I mean, how stupid, how dumb is that?
Yeah, they should have grabbed a more modern day photo, but because they wanted a still image and didn't have a live video, they just posted that. So I went and found the gas station on video and looked up the report, and it really happened. And I thought it was really interesting that this happened, and I didn't hear about it. You know, this is the sort of thing, sir, that you would think that you would see news trucks like at Sandy Hook or at Texas or whatever, where they're camped out. You know, the news trucks are a block down the street with the tents all set up. You know, you would think on this kind of a story, because you had all these children that were shot, you would think for sure this would be a big deal, right? Just like Tennessee, where they had the news trucks and they had all this media attention. But yet, I'm like, okay, when I saw the gas price too, I said, oh, that can't be, because, you know, surely we'd see all of these news trucks outside. But this really did happen.
Well, let me play. You mentioned you sent me a link to a report about it. Let's play that, and then you can tell us more. How's this?
We begin with breaking news. A shooting outside a gas station in Columbus, Georgia, injured 9 people, including a 5-year-old.
WGN's Joel Hillary is in the newsroom with the latest on the investigation. Joel, good evening.
Hi, good evening, Jackie and Tamon. As Columbus police continue their search for the shooter, they say no one was killed and several victims are out of the hospital. Just after 10 Friday night, Columbus, Georgia police responded to a shooting with multiple victims outside of a Shell gas station. Police Chief Freddie Blackman says shots were fired after a fight from a nearby party led to the Shell. All of the victims are under 18.
The ages of these 9 victims range from 5 to 17.
According to police, the victims' injuries don't appear life-threatening. As of early Saturday afternoon, at least 4 of the young people were released from the hospital.
Our prayers are with all of these young people that are injured, and certainly all their families.
Many of the circumstances surrounding the shooting remain under investigation. Blackman says the 5-year-old caught in the gunfire was at the gas station with family and not at the initial party.
The 5-year-old was in the area. We do not have any information that the 5-year-old was being targeted.
As investigators work around the clock putting the pieces together, Blackman urges parents to talk to their children.
To our parents, let's make sure that we know where our children are. Let's make sure we know what our children have in their possession.
Blackman says the party where the fight started may have been at a warehouse. So far, no arrests have been made. Back to you.
Now, Danny, they had a clip there that showed the gas price $3.05, clearly contradicting this still image. But tell us, what should we know about this? It was just not dramatic enough because no one was actually killed. They were shot, but they weren't killed, so it didn't make enough political waves. This looks, I would infer, to be a legit actual shooting. Maybe that's why it didn't get the max, the play, the coverage.
Well, you know, sir, I can't go to the scene, so I didn't go to the scene. But by looking at the reports that were out, it looks real. But again, I can't be on the property to verify it. But what was really interesting is that we had a shooting with these 2 individuals that were involved and arrested. And what really strikes me about it is the fact that all these children were injured in the shooting, right? If one as young as 5 years old. So we have a mass shooting, right? And then we have two individuals that were part of the shooting, and one of the individuals being a minor, a 15-year-old. And you read the reports, it says that the 15-year-old participated in the shooting with this 35-year-old. Okay, so what was this guy? Let's kind of get into this. First of all, this guy is a convicted felon, right? So he's obviously black. For our listeners, you can see his photograph. Okay, they don't show the 15-year-old. I don't have a photo. I looked around for that. There was no posted photos I could find of the 15-year-old that was armed. Okay, and obviously a 15-year-old is not allowed to possess a firearm at any time, period, right? Even in Georgia, you cannot, a 15-year-old can't walk around with a firearm. And they're both black. And you would just think that this is such a wild story with a 35-year-old felon armed and a 15-year-old armed, and they shoot up a gas station where all these children are injured, okay? And you would think that there would be news trucks parked up and down the street. I mean, this, think about it. That's a big deal. That's a lot of people injured in a crazy gunfight with a 35-year-old and a 15-year-old. But yet, you know, other than that blurb and a couple of little riot thefts, it was nothing. I mean, this should have been, you know, way bigger than Tennessee, in my opinion. Where's Anderson Cooper? Where's the news truck? Where's CNN? You know what I mean? But
way bigger than the Nashville event. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can think, sir, just by looking at the events and the scale of who was injured and how many were injured, right, and the way that it happened, you know, that's kind of a horrendous gun story. But yet, nothing. We don't see anything on the mainstream media. They don't choose to cover it. No CNN. Nothing. I didn't see anything on Fox. I couldn't find anything on. You know, I just thought that one was extremely strange to me. And we've had several of them, but that's one of the stranger ones, where a 35-year-old felon who's convicted, not allowed to have a firearm in the first place, is at a gas station, shoots up the station. A lot of kids get injured, and his accomplice that's working with him is 15 years old. And we don't know what the relationship is between him and this 15-year-old arm that shoots up a gas station. And it's a very, very strange story, sir. It, you know, when you look at it on its face, and we have a media clip of it, but yet, you know, quiet on the CNN side and all the mainstream media, where's the news trucks? I just thought it was worth talking about.
Yeah.
When we see all these, you know, TV trucks where they boil up these Danny. Stories and they end up being a false flag, but yet we have a real one here and they want to keep it quiet.
Danny, hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break with Danny Siris. We'll take a look at some of these other odd shootings.
We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer. I'm here with Danny Siris, and we're looking at some shooting incidents that may or may not have received the attention they deserve, may or may not be legitimate. Here's a second one, Danny. Let's take a look at the report on Fox, and then you can talk about it.
Pleasanton police have detained a man and a woman for the deadly shooting of a Home Depot worker. Friends and family are grieving the death of 26-year-old Blake Mose.
Police say a woman who was shoplifting shot Blake when he confronted her. KTV's Allie Rasmus has this update on the victim and the investigation.
Friends and family of 26-year-old Blake Mose are devastated. He worked as a loss prevention agent at the Home Depot store in Pleasanton. He was shot at work doing his job and later died from his injuries. His friends and loved ones describe him as a son, brother, fiancé, an Eagle Scout who spent hours of his time volunteering with a scout summer camp.
He's an incredible person. Everybody loved Blake. He's the nicest guy in the world. I can't say anything bad about the guy.
Scott Rogers has known Mose for more than a decade. They were both volunteers at the scout camp in Casadero near the Russian River. It's where Mose met his fiance and fellow volunteer, Casey, years ago. They were supposed to get married this summer.
The reception was going to actually be a camp Morena where they met. This is out in Casadero along the Russian River. We were all so excited for the two of them. They truly loved each other.
The 26-year-old Mose worked as a loss prevention specialist at the Home Depot in Pleasanton. Pleasanton police say around 2 o'clock yesterday, 32-year-old Benicia Knapps of Oakland tried to walk out of the back loading dock of the store with a phone charger. When Mose confronted her, she shot him. Mose died from his injuries last night. His co-workers this morning were shaken and saddened.
Great guy. Yeah, he was a very, very, very nice young man. Would do anything for anybody, and he was just trying to do his job for the store.
Within an hour of the shooting, police tracked and detained Knapps along with a second person, 31-year-old David Guillory of Oakland, as they drove from Pleasanton back to Oakland.
The Alameda County Sheriff's Office, their air unit, was able to track the vehicle as it made its way into a residential area of Oakland. From there, they were able to stop the vehicle and arrest the two suspects. As they were arresting the female suspect, they discovered there was an infant child inside the vehicle, a two-year-old.
Knapp's child is now with relatives. Pleasanton Police Lieutenant Eric Salacci says officers at the department are grieving Mo's death as well. They knew him because of his job in loss prevention, retail theft at this store and others, an all-too-common reality.
He's generally the reporting party. He's generally the person who's providing us a statement on what happened when he has someone in custody or has maybe a theft occurred and is reporting it afterwards. So he's on all of the reports that these folks inside, the records folks, our officers are always following up with him. So he's very well known to our department and known by many of our officers.
The man and woman accused in this crime are now facing multiple charges, everything from murder to child endangerment. In Pleasanton, Ali Rasmus, KTVU, Fox 2 News.
Danny, I'm interested in your take, my preliminary impression. I mean, it was a black woman shoplifter committing the crime. Maybe therefore it didn't deserve national attention. It contradicts so many Democrat political themes about equity and inclusivity. Your thoughts?
Well, to start off, sir, this one was also sort of unbelievable, but you know, it was on Fox and some other local news. But again, I didn't see it on any of the CNNs or MSNBC. And I thought, when I looked into this, I thought, wow, okay, what exactly is going on here? But, you know, it appears to be true. Again, we don't have any video that we can see of this. Okay, but after following up on this, we have, you know, his parents speaking. We have things that are kind of missing from the false flags. It appears to be real. Then we have the picture of these suspects. And right away, you wonder, okay, why are these suspects armed, and why is she, this female, carrying a firearm, right? And then we have the sheriff's office report of where they caught them in Oakland. So they're from Oakland, so they left Oakland, high crime city. Everybody knows Oakland's one of the worst crime-infested cities probably in the United States, definitely in the top five, top 10 in the United States. So they're back there, you know, seeking refuge of their crime. And they got caught, you know, thank God for the sheriff's office who went in there and caught them. And they shot this kid that was doing this job. And the item that she was stealing was, you know, less than $100, probably less than $50. They said it was a phone charger, a cell phone charger. So a lot of those are, you know, even less than $50. And she was caught. And the report said she was going out the back of the store through the, you know, like the garden area or whatever, when he was following her and confronted her. And can you imagine, she pulled out a firearm that she's not supposed to be carrying, okay? And she shot him over $50. And I'm thinking, okay, where's the news trucks? Where's CNN on this? But, you know, again, we have two people happen to be black again. They happen to be from Oakland, notorious town with high crime. Right? Not supposed to be carrying a firearm whatsoever. They have a person killed, the security individual at Home Depot, you know, and we have no mainstream media coverage on this. There's no outrage over this. It's just like it's totally accepted that two people from Oakland who happen to be black, you know, shoot somebody over a $50 item in a store. I mean, if you can imagine how heinous this is, the worst that would have happened to her is she probably would have got a citation, probably wouldn't even have been arrested for an item around $50 or $100. The police probably wouldn't even show up to take a report. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what they would have done in that jurisdiction, but you know, they're really not acting on petty thefts this day under $1,000. They don't seem to be doing anything.
I know in San Francisco, Danny, she might have got a commendation. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And she actually, I mean, I can't imagine the mindset, sir, of somebody that would pull out a firearm, which you would use in deadly force or to defend your life. And let's not pass up the fact that she's not allowed to carry a firearm, okay? But that she has a firearm on her while shopping at Home Depot, and that she would actually brandish it to get away from her shoplifting, misdemeanor shoplifting crime, and shoot somebody. And the mindset that she's going to get away with it. Like, she's going to, if you think about it, sir, really, a lot of people don't think about this, but You know, if you're standing there, boom, she shoots him. He falls down. She just keeps walking. She gets into the car. She tells her assailant there, yeah, I just shot the security guard, you know, because he caught me stealing this little $50 or less charger. Let's make our way back home, dear, or whatever. And they had a relationship. They had a child. And they go back like, you know, like life's totally normal. No problem. They just shot somebody and a security guard. And like, we're just going to go on with our miserable life like nothing ever happened, right? And we'll slip right in to all the crime in Oakland. And, you know, everything's totally normal day. And then they're caught. I mean, can you imagine the mindset of this individual that would shoot somebody over a $50 charger? And now, you know, of course, she's going to be in prison along with her accomplice. And it's just really amazing what this person possibly could think that they went to jail over shooting somebody over a simple, you know, probably a traffic ticket or less. And that story really got to me when I saw that, sir. It's so tragic over something so small and petty. And yet we have no media coverage. Where's the outrage and the news trucks over this one, sir?
Now, this next one, I believe, did get a lot of play. This is what, the Louisville bank shooting? Let's see what we got here about this reported.
The gunman identified as 25-year-old Connor Sturgeon, who lived in the Camp Taylor area. Interim Police Chief Jackie Gwynville Roel did confirm that he was a current employee, despite some reports that he was on his way to being fired by Old National Bank. Travis Breeze is here now with more on the shooter's background and where the investigation stands. Travis?
Doug, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we got the official death notice from the county coroner's office. Connor Sturgeon died from multiple gunshot wounds. LMPD officers were dispatched to Old National Bank at 8:38, and we just saw the body camera timeline saying that they entered the building and saw him down at 8:45. Police released more information about the signs he gave prior to the shooting and what may have indicated that he had the potential and the desire to kill 5 people.
We have also learned that he purchased the weapon used in this tragic incident on yesterday, on April the 4th. He purchased the weapon legally from one of the local dealerships here in Louisville.
The headline Tuesday, 25-year-old Connor Sturgeon legally purchased an AR-15 at one of the gun stores here in Louisville 6 days before walking into Old National Bank and killing 5 coworkers. During a press conference Tuesday, police confirmed they did obtain evidence while searching his house, but would not go into specifics.
We have executed a search warrant on his residence, and we have recovered items. And we cannot get into specific details on what we recover at this time because, again, the investigation is ongoing.
The district court office still does not have a public search warrant to share with WHAS. The scene at Sturgeon's house was calm Tuesday, with neighbors telling us no one had gone in or out since the sweep on Monday. New Albany Floyd County Schools confirming that Connor Sturgeon was a 2016 graduate of Floyd Central High School and that his father, Todd, was the basketball coach for a time.
We know this shooter purchased an AR-15 rifle on April 4th. We know he left a note. We know he texted or called at least one person to let them know he was suicidal and contemplating harm.
Mr. Sturgeon being an employee at the bank, there is some level of tie between the two parties, but we're still waiting for a clear motive to be given by law enforcement. Also waiting to see if the county coroner or the state medical examiner have any additional information to release in this case. Doug?
Danny, you want to begin? I've got more about the police briefing, but I want your thoughts right off the bat.
Well, sir, there's quite a bit of video that goes with this, okay? And I sent you some additional photographs. So right away, it caught my attention because immediately they were identifying a weapon in the crime. Okay, the other shootings that we covered so far, they don't identify the gun. They don't identify where the person got the gun. They don't talk about a gun store, any kind of tracing of the firearm. Okay, so this one right away, they go after the AR-15, right? The rifle that they want to get rid of or that they don't like because it's the most commonly owned rifle. And they go after it. And the tracing of the rifle. So right away, all of a sudden, they happen to know the gun store. So that got my attention. So I looked up this individual, and the problem was, I don't know if you have the photos, but I found the individual, and when I looked into it further, the individual's photograph did not match the actual background of the person. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is a different guy. And I found a picture. And this guy right here, what was interesting about the story, sir, is his background was that he had no background except for a very positive background. He actually had a master's degree, so he was highly educated, okay? And he didn't even have a traffic ticket. I mean, he had nothing in his background. He had nothing but, you know, it was a polished, very nice background with no criminal history whatsoever, nothing, not even a bad driving record. And what they suggested as the story went on is that this was a white guy, and for listeners out there, this happens to be a white guy this time, and that he just completely snapped for some reason out of the blue, and that he decided that he would go down and buy an AR-15 of all guns, right? And he would go down and go to the bank and punish all these people, his employer, for whatever reason. That's sort of the narrative that the media gives us, right? And there's a video that goes along with this with some police pulling up to the front that's highly suspicious because the street looks closed. It looks like a movie set. There's no pedestrians walking around. There's no cars around anywhere. I don't know if we're going to show that. And it really doesn't show anything. You hear a couple of pops. You hear the glass is already blown out in the front of this building. But there's nobody around. Now, the street's closed. You have this officer going back and forth behind a planter box. And that's really all there is to the video. And then you have this story from the press conference. That's all you have.
Yeah, let me run the press conference here, and you can pick up on it.
Tragically, lives were lost, but countless lives were saved. Deputy Chief Paul Humphrey will show the body cam footage, and he will walk us through the details as necessary. And again, we will answer three questions upon his conclusion of his presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Again, as Sergeant Sanders said, after the conclusion of this press conference, all videos as well as the officer's information will be posted to our social media platforms for everyone to be able to access. So on Monday, April 10th, 2023, Louisville Metro Police responded to 333 East Main Street at the Old National Bank on a report of an active shooter. Show you the overhead. And we will walk through this entire situation. I will explain prior to each video what you're about to see so that you have an understanding of how events unfolded. At 333 East Main, you can see that's the building there, right next to Louisville Slugger Field. Main Street runs east and west, while Preston Street runs north and south. This is a street-level view of the building that we responded to. Officers from the 1st Division were dispatched, as well as officers from the surrounding divisions. What you will see shortly is the response from Officer Wilt and Officer Galloway's car. They will be coming up Preston Street. Preston Street runs to your right on the video. They will be coming from the river down towards Main Street. They will park approximately where that white van is. They will get shot at that location and then back up and exit their vehicles at that point. So I want you guys to understand how we talk about and how we train and prepare for active shooter situations. It's easy to tell an officer that you have to run towards gunfire. It's another thing for them to actually do it. Anybody who's ever been shot at can tell you it is not fun, and it doesn't matter how many times you get shot at, it doesn't get any easier. Plain and simple, everybody reacts in different ways to gunfire. We have to train our officers and put it into them, into their character, that their job is to go towards that.
Do you want me to skip ahead, Danny, or what?
Our decision-making model.
You probably should, yes. Start to get to the video of the being.
Hesitate, Officer Wilt.
Here's him inside the.
Cannot see inside this area.
This is very strange. This guy with his clean background, Danny. It's so implausible that he did this.
They cannot see, and he is the one driving the vehicle.
Here it is, right here. But you don't actually see anything. So here he is with a handgun, the other officer deployed his patrol rifle, which is an AR-15. They go up to the bank. There's nothing going on. Notice the street is empty. There's no cars. There's no pedestrians anywhere.
So as you saw there, after they received the shots and they reapproached, Officer Wilt got on the radio and started communicating that they had already been shot at while remaining calm and collected and getting out the proper information. Next, you'll see Officer Galloway's video. Officer Galloway was Officer Wilt's training officer who was riding in the passenger seat. He deploys with his patrol rifle that he retrieves from his trunk and moves towards the shots that were fired coming out of the lobby area of the location. What you will see is the continuation all the way through this event at this point. So Officer Wilt will be shot. You will not see that part on the video as Officer Wilt is just a step behind Officer Galloway. Officer Galloway will then move across the lobby area outside where he is shot, and he will fall down and roll and return to cover on the opposite side, on the Main Street side. He will take cover there behind a large planter box and try to assess the situation and get some situational awareness of both his status as well as the status of the downed officer and try to ascertain where the shots are exactly coming from. He received the minor gunshot wound, but he continues to stay in the fight and try to assess exactly where this shooter is. While he's doing that, he is going back and forth. He is also communicating on the radio, trying to get a good view of the shooter. You will not hear the radio transmission from him because he has an earpiece. You will later hear a transmission from the radio that picks up on the officer that walks up behind him. As Officer Wilt is there and other officers begin to arrive, they attempted to go up the steps to rescue Officer Wilt. As they go up the stairs and attempt to rescue Officer Wilt, the suspect fires at them, trying to kill them in their process of trying to save Officer Wilt. When the suspect does this, he breaks out the glass and shoots again at the vantage point of his officer.
We're not actually seeing the video, Dan. Well, here it is.
There it goes. You might want to speed it up. You showed this part already a little bit.
Okay.
Here we go.
God damn it!
All we see is this guy behind a planter box.
Yeah.
That's it.
Totally uninformative, Danny.
He goes up the stairs and he falls down and he gets behind this planter box.
I mean, look at this. Nothing. I'm skipping ahead. Then we have a bystander video.
Talking about being able to get some computer that will stop.
Where's the bystander video? Here we go.
There it is. Now watch this guy go back and forth behind this planter box. It's almost comical the way he's moving. Notice the street is empty. There's no pedestrians, no vehicles anywhere.
Yes.
Nobody parked out in front of the
bank. This is looking very much like a staged production, Danny.
We see this guy going back and forth behind the planter box, walking side by side.
Now, there was a car going by. Yeah.
Just left and right. That's basically all we see.
This one got a lot of play in the media, Danny.
What's really interesting, that guy going back and forth, that officer that's walking back and forth, he was supposedly shot by the suspect with an AR-15. And earlier in the video, he falls back on the stairs as he walks up. He falls down on his butt and then rolls back up and gets back up and goes back and forth here behind that planter box. So it's really interesting.
The video does eventually cut off. We did not.
He supposedly took a direct shot from the AR-15 that knocked him down, but yet he's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Danny. Yeah.
That's not the real thing, sir. If he took a blast from a real AR-15 round at close range like that, that knocked him to the ground, he would have been in bad shape. But yet he just kind of comically walks back and forth behind that planter. Eventually, he gets up and walks into the glass of the bank, and then the video cuts off, and there's nothing more to see.
That planter that planter footage was after he's supposed to have been shot with the AR-15?
It was after he got shot, yes.
Danny!
It was after. Because he has supposed body camera footage on where he got shot. He's cussing. He falls back. He falls down on his butt. You see his legs go up in the air. So he sits back down on his butt and then just at the top of the stairs. And then he retreats down the stairs behind that planter box, left and right. And the whole, you know, he does. What's really funny about this is he never grabs his radio. And he never calls in for backup. He never yells, you know, shots fired, I'm taking gunfire, right? That's how you'd be trained immediately, notice, you know, notify dispatch what you're running into, right? Nobody tries to get on the radio to call for anybody else on what they're encountering. I mean, that's just impossible. He's got a radio. Why would he not call me? Why would he not call and say, officer down, officer hit by gunfire so they can start rolling the ambulances, you know, and all this kind of stuff. He doesn't do any of that. He just, after he gets shot, he just comically dances back and forth behind that planter box, and that's it. And that's the end of the video. And I'm just like, are you serious? You're not going to show us anything? A piece of broken glass? A guy falls down on his butt and dances back and forth on the thing. And the point of this video, sir, is I don't know if you have the photos handy, but when I looked into this guy's background, the individual comes up as a different person than the photo that they're showing on the media. That's the point. And when I looked into his background, he had the credential that worked at the bank. He had the master's degree. But the photos don't match the individual they were showing on the news. I couldn't actually find the individual right there that you're showing on the left. I could not find him at all. And the guy on the right doesn't even look like the same person to me. He looks a little bit different other than the beard. But in either case, the guy that I found, he was shorter, had the same name and the same credentials, and he actually worked at the bank. It was in his employment history, and it was a different individual than this guy. And what I surmise about this one is that they sort of, somebody else caught them and they were found out, because this issue was kind of dropped really quickly. I thought, you know, here we have an AR-15, we have a white guy. Immediately they're saying that he bought the gun a few days ago at some gun store. So they already know where he bought it, the history of the buying of the gun and what it is, you know, and that's the gun they like to pick on. So I thought we were going to see news trucks and this was going to be a big deal. And this just got dropped. It is just no news trucks after, you know, it was in the media for a day, maybe day and a half, and it just faded off. And that was, it just ended up not being anything.
I noticed on this one thing they have his preferred pronouns, he, him, which is, this is just so stupid, this pronoun thing, Danny. But do we ever have an explanation? Why would this guy with a master's degree from the Manderson Graduate School of Business at the University of Alabama, who's got a good job at the Old National Bank, Louisville metropolitan area, why would he go suddenly batshit crazy? I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Well, he had a perfect, the background, the real background of the guy with this name. I'm not saying it's this guy. What I'm saying is they took an image of somebody we don't know who it is and put it on the profile of the name that they're using. That's very clear. Okay. But I think they realized that. And then they kind of dropped this. This was going to be like some sort of a drill that they were going to go live with, right? Because there's just no way we would have outed it. So I sent you the photographs of the real person. So I'm like in the background, and the real person actually lived at the house that the media showed. So the media showed a house that he lived in.
Yeah.
And when I looked into it, this real person, who does not look like this person, he's shorter, different person. You can see a picture with his wife. I sent you pictures with his wife and everything. He actually lives in that house.
Now, this has a different name. It's Connor Miles.
I know that. I understand that. But this individual here has two names. He also came up as the other guy's name as well.
Did he?
Yes, that's what we never did get into this when I sent this to you.
Yeah.
Because we were on to some other event because the media just dropped it. You know what I mean? Where we thought, you know, this would be at least a week's worth of media like, you know, like Texas or Tennessee or whatever. But they just, they went on to something else and found this wasn't interesting. So this guy right here, this guy that's also listed as Connor Miles on Facebook, he's listed with the same real name as the guy from the bank. And he actually lives in the house that the media shows on television. This guy does. And he's the guy that has the master's degree that worked at the bank, the guy in the photo. But yet they're showing another guy on the photo. So I thought, well, this is going to be really interesting to talk about, right? How is it that this guy lives in the house that the media is showing him? Who is this other guy that they're showing us?
Uh-huh.
AR-15 a few days ago. The other thing I noticed in another news clip is they were talking about how one of the reporters said, well, this is just an incident where this suspect didn't even have a parking ticket. He's perfectly clean, never had a history of any crime, you know, has this wonderful education. And he said, but he just decided one day, it shows you how a person could just snap and go out and buy an AR-15
yeah.
and shoot up.
But there's not, but the, we don't even have any reason to think he's under stress. I mean, you know.
Exactly. But what they were going to do, sir, is that on this, in my opinion, they were going to use this story to show how a white guy can with a master's degree, right? No criminal history, right? No criminal history and a master's degree and a really solid job with a really clean background, nice family, can just go out and snap one day and go out and buy an AR-15
just,
and shoot up.
It's just ridiculous.
Therefore, sir, that shows you that any white person could snap at any moment, even if they're clean background, and therefore we need to ban the AR-15.
Danny, this is colossally stupid. I mean, this is one of the dumb ones.
It was over the top dumb, sir. And when we went through the photos and if we, you know, went through all the background, and I showed you the photograph of the house with the history that goes to the other guy, and it shows he works at the bank and lives in that. The media actually showed a picture, an image of a house where he lived.
Yeah.
That whole collage.
Yeah, it was a pretty pedestrian house. I mean, you know.
Yes, but that individual right there, sir, was the guy that shows that worked at the bank and lives in that house.
Connor Miles.
Yeah. He's the one that works at the bank.
Danny, they really botched this one up. I mean, big time.
They never even got a chance to talk about it because they dropped it so fast. And, you know, news events happen so fast. There's so many of them going on when you're watching. We never did anything on this one because they dropped it so fast. And they were on to, you know, there was on to other things that were going on in the world, other shootings.
Danny.
Now, real quick, while you have that image up before you bring that up, I want to cue that one up, sir. That gentleman that's up on the upper left-hand corner is former Nashville police. Okay, I just want to point that out.
This guy here?
Yeah, I don't know how long he worked there, but he is now is an investigator, some sort of a private investigator, and he is investigating a lot of sex crimes, human trafficking, you know, just all kinds of things that he's been doing for a long time. So he's well known in that area. He's kind of a high profile figure, okay, in law enforcement. And he's well known in that area, by the way. So he's been studying the child trafficking and the human trafficking that's going in Nashville.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, they do have a problem. I didn't know there was a problem in Nashville until I heard him talk about it. He shows a lot of evidence. And what's really interesting is prior to this show, it was about 24 hours before, 48 hours before he went on the show with Jaco and that other former law enforcement down at the bottom. His house got shot up in a drive-by.
Really?
No kidding. And he lives in a nice neighborhood.
Let me explain, by the way, Danny, that we're switching now to another event. And I've got an image up here. These three parties are going to be discussing it. In case you thought we were still talking about the Louisville Bank event, we're talking about another. Danny, continue.
This is the Nashville event, sir, that you covered in quite detail. And what's really interesting, that's Michael Jaco, former Navy SEAL, does a great job exposing a lot of stuff, like yourself. And that's why he has these individuals on here. Now, they were talking about Tennessee and the Tennessee shooting And I was really disappointed when I heard this one because they didn't go into any of the details that you covered and I covered with the shoes and
yeah.
the mannequin. And they didn't go into the details of the weapon. And I was like, it was just really kind of a flyover. But what he did say, the guy in the beard up there that worked in Nashville, his contacts that are still in the police department, and he clearly says this, sir, that's why I sent it to you. He says that they used that church school the week prior that the media came out with this event. They're talking about how it is a false flag. They used it, confirmed, sir, he confirmed it, because his source is still police that works in there. They used it as a drill. So he goes into that and talks about how they ran this drill at this shooting drill at the school a week prior to the event being announced on the news.
Yeah. Wow.
Explosive coming from him. Now, is it direct evidence like what you showed with the shoes and the video in the parking lot?
And that it's a boy who's a shooter and not the 28-year-old woman with a long neck. I mean, you know, Danny.
Right. But this is corroborating.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When you have a guy come out and he says he worked at Nashville PD.
Yeah.
Well known. And what's really interesting is when he came out, his house got shot up in a drive-by shooting. And he actually goes over that.
That's pretty damn bizarre. Should we play a little bit of this, Danny? Do you know where you want me to go?
I don't know if I would go into that because, it's an hour or something long.
It is, I know, but I thought there might be a part of it you'd like me to show.
I don't have a minute on the
Okay.
So, you know what, you're probably not going to get lucky and catch that one spot. But I'm glad you're showing the image because I just want to talk about it. You could probably put the link to that interview in the comment section.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that it caught my attention when he confirmed, and you can see the eyebrows and the other two guys go up, when he confirmed that there was a drill ran by the Nashville Police Department
at yeah.
the school 1 week prior, and he went into that. What they didn't cover, and I'd like to point out that is the most bombshell to this whole thing, is when you and Brian Davidson went over this and then I went over it with you, the police go around the corner and they get into the shooting with this, you know, transsexual person, whoever it is, and he's laying on the ground and his shoes have changed. He has a different pair of shoes on than when he walked into the building initially. He doesn't have a backpack. And his face is obscured, right? His face, they blurred out his face and you can't see it. And his legs are kind of contorted. They don't look right. They're almost bent back in an impossible position for them to be in. And I commented because his hand looked funny. And I thought, you know what? I told you, I'm not so sure that that's actually the shooter. I think that is a possibility that that is a mannequin or a dummy of some sort.
Oh, you mean lying on the ground? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's actual. But, you know, it was obscured face. We
yes.
couldn't really tell. And I knew something was wrong when we saw his legs contorted.
Yeah, yeah. The body does not look normal. I agree, Danny. And why would they be blurring the face if it's the actual shooter? Why would they be blurring it?
And we just saw the transsexual on video walk.
Right, right.
And clear video of it.
You'd only blur it if it's not the same person or not the same figure, not the same image. Then you blur it.
And I was wondering, why would you blur the face? So I thought something's really strange there. And then someone zoomed in. It wasn't me. I missed it. But the individual was laying on the floor after the police supposedly shot him in his grill or shot him. He had different shoes on. He had a
yeah, of course, yeah.
Shoes that were rainbow colors and
right,
all that.
Right,
right. Different than the other shoes. Well, that blew the whole thing open.
Right.
But what really blew it open, in my opinion, is when you had Brian Davidson on, who had the ability to use a really super slow-mo
yeah.
video.
Yeah.
And the officer shooting him with the Glock handgun, which I pointed out, you can see there's no rounds coming out of the gun.
Right. No shell casings are being ejected. Yes.
Right. And why the handgun when the guy with the rifle was in the room before him There was another guy in there that had a shotgun, but they waited for the guy with the camera, the body camera, to come around the corner and actually do the shooting with the Glock handgun.
Yeah.
And fire several rounds at him. But what Brian did, it was over the top, and Brian should be commended for this, is he slowed the video down in a way that I would call it super slow-mo. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he used different software or what he had. But you can see the action on the gun when it's running. And Brian actually shows, you can see a plastic BB come out of the Glock pistol.
Yeah.
And go across the room and bounce off the wall.
Yeah.
And deflect off to the left.
Yeah.
And that's the simulation that the police use during the drill.
Yeah.
It's like a kid's airsoft gun. It's a game where kids get dressed up with a face shield and all that stuff, and like a paintball. And they shoot these little plastic DBs out of these guns, I believe.
Danny, I believe it would be the drill footage they took the week before that they presented as live. I mean, you know,
that ex-police officer right there confirmed, and he goes into detail about how his confirmation that they definitely had ran the shooting drill at the same place 1 week prior.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the video we saw. Oh,
I think it is, yeah.
Because there's nobody in the parking lot.
Right. Or in the school. The school's completely empty. Completely empty. Why would they think it would be plausible when there's nobody in the building that anyone would buy it?
Right, exactly. And the thing is Brian showed when he slowed the video down, you can see the plastic BB come out of the Glock handgun and bounce off the wall and go off to the right. And right in my mind when I saw that, I was just a listener at that time. I watched that report. And I was thinking, oh, my God, that confirms what I told Dr. Fetzer about that being a dummy or a mannequin on the floor. The reason why, sir, is when you have this simulation going through the air with these plastic BBs coming out of this,
it
comes out at several hundred feet per second. If you were to hit somebody in the face with that, okay, you could put their eye out during the drill.
Right.
So often when they run these drills, sir, they have to wear masks, like kids when they play the paintball.
Right, right.
Because if you got hit in the face.
Safety. They're safety goggles in essence, yeah.
That's right. They put on some goggles or sometimes a face shield. They have different things they put on that protect them. So the reason why, sir, I believe that's a mannequin or a dummy is because they were firing real plastic BBs from the simulation gun they use on the drill at them. And they needed to switch out the actor because they couldn't put a face mask on him because it would look really strange if the transsexual person all of a sudden had a face mask on, right?
Right.
So they had to put a dummy on the floor to shoot the simulation at, right? Because they couldn't injure the actor they were using. And they forgot to switch the shoes on their dummy.
Yeah.
And that's why they obscured the face, sir.
Yeah.
Because it was a mannequin or a dummy.
I agree, Daddy. I agree.
They forgot to change the shoes. The other part of that was kind of left out is in the media footage to the Tennessee, the media footage, they show a helicopter shot with the school parking lot full of cars.
Yeah.
On the day when these kids coming out,
right.
We see the parking lot is full. They also show, and this is very important, they show a car in the, well, they don't really show it in the parking lot. They do a close-up. The media just does of an automobile. And it's got several gunshots in the front of the car and through the windshield where supposed the shooter was shooting at them from an elevated position from the church or the school when the police arrived. So now you
see
actually taking gunfire from an AR-15 or supposed AR-15, right? You have them taking gunfire. That would completely really change the situation, sir. They wouldn't enter the building like they did if they were actually taking real gunfire from an AR-15.
Yeah.
That would have turned out to be a long standoff with somebody firing down on them from an elevated position. Okay, they're not going to go in with somebody armed with an AR-15 blasting away through a window at them in the parking lot when they arrive.
They're getting really sloppy. They're getting really sloppy about this stuff, Danny. I think they believe the public will believe anything they do. They don't even have to, they can be as careless as they want, and it's not going to make any difference.
Well, like Richard Nixon said, he had that famous quote, the American people will believe anything as long as it's on television. I'm sure you're familiar with that quote. He's quite famous for saying that.
Yeah.
Because he knew what was going on. He said that. He said the American people will believe anything as long as it's shown on television. Because they took that to be...
Not understanding their TV is a miniature movie theater. You know, they might as well be looking at a Hollywood screen here, man. I mean, that's what's happened.
Well, this Michael Jaffe interview, sir, when he came out, okay, and I was watching, I watched this because they were going to talk. They had these two guys on there, and I thought, okay, maybe there's some additional information they can bring forward on this Tennessee thing, because I've been following it like you have. And I thought, well, maybe I might learn something. That's all. That's why I watched it. And I was disappointed that they didn't go over the shoes or the evidence and all of that. They did seem to talk about the parking lot was light and it didn't look right. And Michael Jaffe being a Navy SEAL and an expert with weapons, obviously, being a Navy SEAL, and doing building entries and stuff like that. He said the cops didn't look right. They didn't look really professional. Something was really funny. He said it looked like a drill. They kind of did a flyover. But when that gentleman on the left there, the former Nashville policeman, came out and said that his house just got shot up in a drive-by because he's been exposing human trafficking coming into the Nashville area. He also has been exposing the fact that corruption money has been coming in from Arizona, coming into Nashville to affect the politicians there. And he talked about how corrupt Nashville has become. I've never been to Nashville. I don't know anything about Nashville. You know, it's famous for music, country music, but I don't know anything about it. So it was fascinating for him to break down all the human trafficking that he discovered. He shows it, and he breaks down this corruption money that's coming in from Arizona to try and take over Tennessee and the Nashville area and corrupt it, and corrupt the politician. And
yeah.
He comes out and says you can't not trust the local police or local law enforcement anymore.
Wow.
Local officials because
it's wow.
Information that he brings out. You might want to just listen to it on your own time. It's
yeah.
An amazing interview. And then he blurts out that his house was just shot up, and he actually shows all the bullet holes in his house, which is amazing. And he talks about that, how they didn't seem to really care when they came to his house to take a police report.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a former police officer gets his house shot up, and he's a famous investigator, and he's busting all this human trafficking and this corruption from Arizona coming in to corrupt the officials, then his house gets shut up. So obviously they're trying to...
intimidate him, if not actually kill him.
And he's a popular guy. He's on the internet. I think he has his own blog show. You know, so he's not a quiet individual, right? He didn't just retire from the police department. He went on to do other things. And his career, he did, because he explains how he cares for that area. I guess he grew up in that area, and he worked there. And, you know, he's really sick and tired of all the corruption. But, boy, when he dropped that bomb and he came out and said, you know, I got a phone call from a friend of mine that still works there, an individual. And he said that I believe he said he used to work with, but it's somebody that he knew quite well. He elaborates. And he said, you know, Michael Jaffe there, Navy SEAL, he goes, you know, it's confirmed, and this is confirmed, that they ran a drill at the school shooting 1 week prior to
yeah. That. What a coincidence. Danny, we got one more. We don't want to skip this Wayne County thing. Attacking, sexually assaulting former girlfriend, strangled her, poured gas on her, threatened to assault her with a drill. This is some piece of work, Danny. Tell us about this case.
Okay, this one, sir, is extremely disturbing, along with the other one I sent you last night. I don't know if you had time to post that one, and I'll talk about that. This other one I have in my mind that's outrageous as well. But this particular individual, this shows you, sir, This guy should be on every TV network 24 hours a day. I mean, I just, based on, you know, the tragedy of the crime and what he did and just all the people he's affected, but that's not the case, again, okay? And that's what drew me to this. This isn't just a random street crime in the Illinois, Chicago area. This is an individual, sir, that has killed multiple people, okay? Multiple people.
Nope.
He got arrested for his original murder case, and then they let him out on bail.
Oh, there's a Soros DA for you, Danny. Hell, it says he even killed his parents and his former girlfriend. What a sadistic, vicious SOB, man.
That's why when I snapped that photo, I left that caption in there. So the full caption or report is, you know, on the full thing I sent you. It's not there, but you touched on some of it right there.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that he was arrested for the most violent crime.
Yeah.
So why would somebody that's such a danger to the public be granted bail?
Good God!
He actually kills multiple people.
Yeah. But
guess what, sir? They let him out of jail on bail, and while he's out on bail, he kills somebody else.
Listen to this. He allegedly strangled his ex, poured gasoline on her, threatened to assault her with a drill, burned her arms and legs with a metal spatula before attempting to sexually assault her using a pole. The victim told investigators he wrapped a cord around her neck. He strangled her, then released before reapplying. She said he also heated up the spatula on the stove and then put it on her arm. Nice guy, Danny. Now, we do have some footage. Well, this is about the bus shooting. So these are two different cases.
Right. So we'll get to that bus one in a second. But what happened is this guy not only was put in court, you know, in jail, he was let out on bail. And when he was out on bail, sir, he killed somebody else. He was rearrested, put back in jail, and then re-let out on bail again. Okay. Now this isn't over. He went out and killed somebody, a third person, got rearrested, put back in jail, rebailed out, and one more time killed somebody, arrested, and rebailed.
This
has four cases pending against him, and he has murdered multiple people while he's out on bail, and they still haven't even tried him for the first one.
This is a Democrat sense of law and order.
How is it? I'd like to really draw a point. How is it that a person that can be, they would keep letting a person out of jail, that would keep, every time they let him out of jail and kill somebody, and they arrest him and they let him out on jail, bail, he kills somebody. They arrest him, let him out on bail, he kills somebody. He did it four times. This guy is free on bail, sir, after multiple killings and being arrested and bailed. What is going on with our justice system? This individual is black. But, I mean, this guy, it's like he's a destructive force.
Oh, yeah.
And they just let him out on purpose.
This is a sadistic psychopath. There's no doubt about it, Danny.
What part of in the right mind would let an individual out, much less the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth? Is there going to be a fifth? I mean, we're at the fourth now, and they're still waiting for the trial for the first one. You got guys that have written bad checks that are in jail, but yet this is a hardcore. And it really deserves attention, sir, because there's no media trucks. There's no CNN, no Anderson Cooper, no MSNBC. This guy has left a wake of destruction like we haven't seen. He killed a lot of people in a very sadistic, nasty way.
Yes.
That's just part of what you said.
Yes.
The full report about all the things he's done, it's so horrendous. It's almost unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
But yet we have a Democratic area that kept letting this individual in and out of jail. No matter how violent he is, he gets bailed out, kills another person, gets bailed out. It shows the world we're living in right now, sir. It just makes no sense.
I agree, Danny. Hey, let's squeeze in this bus thing. Let me play the video clip here.
It happened late Monday afternoon on a bus carrying students home from the Prince George's County Alternative Middle School. A 14-year-old boy attacked by three others rushed aboard at a stop. The attack happening here along Iverson Street. The bus pulling up, stopping. One girl gets off, but the three others jump on the bus and immediately pull out that gun.
This was an attempted murder.
plain and simple. Let's call it what it is.
Martin Diggs, head of the bus drivers union, describes a ruthless attack.
Pulled the trigger three times, but for some reason, by the grace of God, the gun didn't go off, and bullets flew out of the gun.
Multiple sources confirming the bus's onboard video system recording the whole thing. A point-blank attempt to shoot the middle schooler in the head, and when the gun didn't fire after three tries, a physical beating for the attackers ran off.
We are outraged as a district. Four or five that this incident did occur.
Teroscar Coleman is associate superintendent of Prince George's Schools.
Our priority remains providing a safe and orderly environment for our students that is during school and also to and from school.
The head of the driver's union wants more security and says the driver and aide thought they were going to be killed.
They're terrified. The one driver does not want to come back to work. They're terrified. They don't even want to come out of the house.
Danny, tell us, give us your thoughts here. We've only got 60 seconds to go, my friend.
Well, I don't know if you have the image I sent you, sir, but you can see a clear image of two individuals wearing a hoodie. They're all hoodies, like a dark hoodie. They're both black. They appear to be teens. One of them has a handgun, automatic handgun, and they're telling us a story but malfunctioning. And the gun doesn't work. So obviously they don't know how to work it or whatever the details are. But he tries to. So this is so blazing, sir, when you have two black individual youths go onto an active school bus during school session with the bus driver, pull out a gun and try to kill another student on the bus. This is another outrageous example, sir. It's so over the top how bad the crime is. And so blazing that they would go on an active school bus and give no concern about other students or the bus driver and go on there and try to shoot another student. But, and, you know, the media, the local people, covered it. And we're...
Danny, you've done a great job, my friend. Well, everyone, had a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Danny, I can't thank you enough.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...